Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, my name is Aaron Snow, and they call me the Trainer of Champions, the Hall of Fame Trainer of Champions. We'd like to thank you today for tuning in to the World Boxing Review radio show. In North Carolina, man, and the sun is blazing. It's a very nice day. But we'd like to thank our viewing audience for tuning in. And right now we have our radio aficionado, Bob Murray from Pottsville, Pennsylvania. Come on with it, Bob.
Hey, good morning, Aaron. So things are quieting down a little bit there in North Carolina. But, man, rough week. Still in the news. Water's still rising and all that. Boy, man, what a summer. It is the last day of summer.
We just want to keep sending our prayers out to those that have been affected by the storm, Florence. And also, we ask the Lord for a speedy recovery and to help those that are affected. You know, low after struggle come with ease, and after ease more struggle. And we know it's a hard time for some with property damage, car damage, and, you know, water and all that. It seems like, hey, look, what are we going to do? Still here, and Lord make a way somehow, Bob. So our prayers go out for all of them. But in the world of boxing, Bob, what do we got going on?
Well, we know about the big one tonight, so we'll start there. All eyes on Wembley Stadium in London, UK tonight, with this great heavyweight battle between the champion Anthony Joshua, 21-0, 20 by knockout, going against the challenger Alexander Povetkin. He's 34-1, 24 knockouts, and this is for Joshua's four titles, IBF, IBO, WBA, and WBO. Also on the card is Matty Askin. He's 23-3-1, 15 knockouts, versus Lawrence Okole, who's 9-0, 7 of those wins by KO, and that's for the triple BFC British Cruiserweight crown. Also, we have Luke Campbell, 18-2, 15 KOs, takes on Yvonne Mendy, who has 40 wins, 4 losses, 1 draw, and 19 KOs in that. And it's a lightweight contest. Also, we get a look at unbeaten heavyweight Sergei Kuzma. He's up and coming. He's 12-0, 9 KOs. He's stepping in against David Price. He's 22-5, 18 knockouts. And Price, he of course, lost to Povetkin back in March of this year. Elsewhere throughout the UK, in Walsall, it's Tyler Denny, 9-0-2. He fights Reese Cartwright, 21-1, for the vacant Triple BFC English middleweight belt. Other action in Europe tonight includes the battle for the IBF International middleweight belt between Rafael Bejaran. He's 25-2-1, and Jack Kolke, 24-3, and that takes place in Potsdam, Germany. In Hamburg, it's Artem Harutyunyan, who's 4-0, 3 knockouts, versus Miralav Chakotsi, he's 5-2, for the German International BBB super lightweight title. And his brother, fellow Armenian brothers, Robert Harutyunyan, he's 4-0 with 3 knockouts. He takes on Giovanni Martinez, 8-5-1, for the German International BBB lightweight title. And Karlsruhe features Stefan Ciampa versus Giovanni Richkar, light heavyweight bout. While Hoff in Germany also features the Lars Bury versus Khalid Sayan light heavyweight contest. Lamza Poland will see Kamil Zeremeta. He's undefeated at 17-0, takes on Ruben Diaz, 25-1-2. They duke it out for the EBU European middleweight crown. Budapest, Hungary features 9-1-1 Peter Kramer in the middleweight headliner. And in Rome, Italy, it's Mirko Geografo, 11-1-1, versus Marco Boizio, 6-2-1, for the Italy middleweight title. And unbeaten Vincenzo Bellavacqua, 13-0, steps in with Gregory Trenno, 9-3-2, for the vacant WBC Mediterranean super welterweight title. Tuscany highlights Nicola Hanciuri versus Nicolino Damari super featherweight clash. And Emilia Romagna tops their night with the Mattia De Bianchi versus Alfredo De Bartolo featherweight feature. Vienna, Austria will see Nicole Vesner, 14-0, 6 KOs, defending her GBU, IBF, and WBF world female lightweight titles against challenger Lina Tejada, who's 11-5. Ustina Laver in Czech Republic features the female minimum weight fight between the up-and-coming, she's a really good fighter, Fabiana Batike. She's 13-0, taking on Denise Castle, 2-1. And Drancy France highlights the Asim Mohamed El Galbazuri versus David Bednarik middleweight contest. Villarrubia de Santiago in Castilla and La Mancha, Spain, tops off with Cristina Garobo, 4-0 versus Victoriza Simonova. That's a female flyweight bout. While Madrid hosts the super middleweight matchup of Mariano Hilario, 16-6 versus Eduardo Belos, who's 3-10. Paula on the island of Malta hosts the lightweight headliner of Haitham Ramuz, 13-1, taking on Mark Zolos, who's 1-4. Ekaterinburg, Russia, we'll see Renko Santana, 3-1, taking on Ravshan Ergashev, 3-1, in the super middleweight feature. Istanbul, Turkey, hosts the GBU World Cruiserweight title fight between the 43-8-2 Filat Arslan and Pascal Nundama, who's 23-8-2. Two female world title fights are happening in Mexico tonight. First, in Cancun, is Esmeralda Moreno, 35-10-2 versus Yesenia Gomez, 13-5-2, reprising their epic battle for the WBC World Female Light Flyweight Crown after fighting to a draw back on May 19th. While in Monterrey is Aurelio Musino, 26-3-2 with 10 knockouts, defending her WBO World Female Flyweight belt against the 19-6-3 with 7 KOs Maria Salinas. Also in Mexicali in Baja, California, it's Cristian Bielma, 11-2, 4 KOs versus Oliver Quintana, 15-0 with 12 KOs in the super lightweight feature. While Mexico City will witness Luis Lopez Escamilla versus Ricardo Urbina lightweight clash, San Francisco de Mostazal, Chile, hosts the battle for the WBA Federlatin super flyweight title between Miguel Gonzalez. He's 28-1, and it's Yader Cardoza will be facing 23-13-1. And that battle for the vacant WBA Federlatin female super flyweight belt between Daniela Asingo, 7-2-2, and Carlotta Santos, 7-5-5. Sao Paulo, Brazil, will feature the super featherweight contest of Esteban Falcao Florentino, 5-0, versus Ansley Roca, who's 0-3. Buenos Aires, Argentina, headlines with the fight for the vacant WBC Latino silver middleweight belt between the 13-2 Gonzalo Gaston Correa and the 12-2-1 Jonathan Wilson Sanchez. Elsewhere in Buenos Aires, Florencia Ayala and Juarez debuts against Elizabeth Britos in the female featherweight feature. And up in Canada, Oshawa, Ontario, tops their card with unbeaten super welterweight Jesse Wilcox, 10-0-2, stepping in with Ernesto Olvera, who's 8-2-1. Action across the U.S. tonight includes Selena Barrios and Patricia Juarez. They're both 4-0, vying for the NABF female lightweight crown, taking place in Corpus Christi, Texas. And in Las Vegas, Nevada, is Jose Miguel Borrego, 14-1, versus Cameron Crail, 13-13-3, in a super lightweight clash. Bowie, Maryland, hosts Atlantez Fox, 23-1-1, versus Elvin Ayala, 29-10-1, in a middleweight matchup. While in Springfield, Virginia, it's Anthony Young, 18-2, versus Donald Ward, 10-7-1, in the welterweight headliner. Also, 13-0, Patrick Harris seeks the vacant ABF Colonial Atlantic Super Lightweight Belt. Fort Myers, Florida highlights the Antonio Rodriguez and Carlos Apodaca Super Flyweight Belt. And in Louisville, Kentucky, it's Maydel Sando, 6-0, taking on Lamar Harris, 9-16-4, in the Super Middleweight feature. Lightweights Josh Hernandez, 6-1, and Andre Sherrod, 4-1, go at it in Rosemont, Illinois. And cruiserweight Justin Ridgeway, 6-2, fights Adrian Armstrong, 4-4-1, in Joplin, Missouri. Brighton, Colorado, features the welterweight contest between Gregorio Perez Herrera, 5-2-2, and Cesar Holguin, 10-6-2. Down under in Newstead, Queensland, Australia, the welterweight clash of Michael Bagley versus Michael Thornton tops the bill, while down in Grafton, New South Wales, Troy Harding takes on Stuart Stokes in the cruiserweight finale. Tsukuba Iwaraji, Japan, highlights that Tatsuya Takahashi, he's 28-8-5, and Masahide Shinabe, 8-16-2, super bantamweight battle. Cambridge, New Zealand, will see Lanny Daniels and Tessa Tuolivao vie for the Pro Box New Zealand female super middleweight belts. Manila in the Philippines, will see Jonathan Lightning Taconing. He's 27-3-1, 22 of those by knockout. He defends his WBC International Light Flyweight title against Vince Pallas, who's 13-1 with 11 KOs. Bang Phum Thailand features Acharya Wirodhanasunabol, 11-0, 5 KOs, defending his WBC Asian Boxing Council super lightweight title against Taisha Ozawa, who's 21-10-2, 13 of those wins by knockout. Iwaraji, Japan, will host the super bantamweight battle between Tatsuya Takahashi 28-8-5 versus Masahide Shinabe, 8-16-2. The Elbin Shawn Taina hosts a super bantamweight bout between Jun Zhao, 8-2-1, and Doug Kwan Lee, who's 8-1-2. Beijing tops their night with Yu Che Li, he's 3-1-2, versus Hong Peng Zhang, 5-5-1, in the featherweight feature. Also, one item to note, too, in Nagoya, Japan, on Monday, Sho Kimura, 17-1-2 with 10 knockouts, defends his WBO World flyweight title against Kosei Tanaka, 11-0, with 7 knockouts. And there we go, 25 countries this week. We're getting up there. It's getting a little busier now. The weather gets a little bit colder. We start getting inside. Let's see a little more. We got the 25. That's the first we've hit that in a while now. So, looking good. Some good fights across the world. Of course, the big one tonight taking place over at Wembley Stadium. But some good action throughout the world tonight as well.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that fight over in London in Wembley Stadium the night between Anthony Joshua and Povetkin. You know, Anthony Joshua is a 10-1 favorite, Bob. You know, he's going up against Povetkin, who's 39 years old, and his only loss
to Klitschko.
Coming to where he lost in that fight. But this is a good matchup. He's a number one contender for the WBA, and it's a great fight, you know, for Anthony Joshua. You know, it's a sellout crowd. You know, at the weigh-in yesterday, man, were they biting at the bit yesterday with that large crowd over there watching him to weigh in. And Anthony Joshua, you know, he really outweighed him. I think Povetkin was 222 pounds, and Anthony Joshua was 246.2 pounds, something like that. So there's a in weight,
pounds,
height, size,
yeah.
And boy, did Anthony Joshua, he just has, you know, that athlete physique. He looks like a lean, mean fight machine, but it ain't the look or it ain't the big in size, you know, that you win a fight. You win a fight that who has prepared at their best and who climbs in the ring when the bell rings at their best and who can make adjustments in the fight as the fight goes on and on. That's what it boils down to tonight. And, you know, a lot of people can't wait for this fight. You know, Dante Wilder in Fury, guess what, Bob? It's set for December 1st. Can you believe that? They finally have, set the tone, you know, for the fight. It's going to be live and it's going to be pay-per-view. So,
and they had
everybody
already, they had the undercard all set. They were just waiting for those two to get together. They had everything all planned. They were just waiting for, like you said, the ink on paper between
the
two of them.
Yeah. But that Frank Warren, you know, that Frank Warren has been around for a long time. We used to work with him, Frank Warren overseas, for a long time, who has Tyson Fury. You know, Frank's a hell of a businessman when it comes to boxing. He's a great promoter. He knows how to set deals, and he knows how to put those things together. You know what I mean? So when it came down to a real veteran when making the big fight happen, Frank Warren, he bit the bit and said, hey, look, Tyson Fury's the man. If we know he's the man, let him in against Dante Wilder. And I'm glad to see that Dante Wilder, his team finally realized, hey, look, the man has to fight at some point, sometime, and December 1st is the point in the time, and what a fight this is going to be, and what antics leading up to the heavyweight WBC championship fight, you know, how it's going to take place, and what, oh, man, is it really going to be something? But tonight's fight is all eyes are on London. When you're talking about a heavyweight championship fight, you know, everybody wants to see if Anthony Joshua can, with the look and everything, with a seasoned veteran and a former world heavyweight champion like Povetkin, can he put the finishing touches and knock this guy out, you know. And if Povetkin prevails, oh, does that send, oh, shockwaves and it makes the whole
thing
with White and all of them. It mixes up all of that. So it creates a new scenario for all that. And the streaming service. What's the name of the streaming service, Hearns?
DAZN, DAZN, I guess it's just called. Yeah, by initial. Yeah.
Well, they're promoting that you can buy for $9.99. You can buy this service, in-demand service. You know, our radio show here is in-demand, and we take our in-demand around the world, Bob. That's how we're able to go all around the world, because we're on demand too, Bob. Don't think that we ain't. That's how we're able to do this is in demand.
And we do have people listening. We were talking earlier this week about all the countries that we do have over across Europe and in Africa and all across the world. We really do have the people tuning in, and we thank everybody for tuning in to us, too, across the world. But, you know, one other thing I just want to point out, you know, if Povetkin does win this tonight, you know, we have this kid fighting tonight, too, that Kuzmin, who's undefeated. He's up and coming. He's another Russian. You can see him getting into the picture if he goes out and impresses against David Price, you know. So that's another name to throw in there if that impossibility does happen. You know, but while Joshua was talking about eighth round knockout, we'll see what happens. But he says he'll finish it off in eight rounds. We'll see.
Well, it's good to hear him talk that way. If he can deliver, it would be second to none if he can really deliver it. But this is a tough fight for him. You know, this guy, you got to watch. You know. If he can keep Povetkin at bay and keep his range, and if Povetkin does get inside, can Anthony Joshua deliver that uppercut that he hit Klitschko with? And that if he can deliver that, his fight against the Australian, he couldn't deliver that uppercut. You know what I mean? He was trying.
Right,
the guy was going one side, one. He was able to avoid that uppercut. But if he can tie Povetkin up on the inside every once in a while, throw some uppercuts and throw combinations off of that uppercut when he gets inside, where Povetkin don't want to lay on the inside, where he can deliver that good left hook that he has, then he will be all right. You know,
right,
and keep the pace. And if he gets Povetkin hurt, will Anthony Joshua move in for the kill? Will
he
step the pace up, cross across that line, just don't go fighting safe to the finish line? Does he give the people what they want? And that's a knockout blow, like we always say. But tonight's his night, and it ain't, you know, the fights, people are going in the arena over there now because they're ahead of time.
It's going to happen soon. Yeah, 5 hour difference. Yeah, indeed. Yeah. Hey, you know, before we get on to, go ahead.
ESPN has now 1 million prescribers to their streaming service, subscribers.
Wow, yeah.
To their service for streaming. You know, interesting.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, and we'll see the streaming service that Eddie Hearns has set up with Matchbox, how well that does is because they're talking about for $9.95, you'd be able to see like 80-some fights
this
year. Yeah, now
across the world, too, because, he's touching into the Far East, like we talk about some of those great lightweights and flyweights and all those guys that are fighting out there in the Far East, you know, the big champions out there. But, you know, before we get to our guests, I wanted to touch base with you on your thoughts about last week's fight, the Triple G versus Alvarez fight. You know, it was another one guy had it at a draw, you know, one of the judges, and the other two had it for Canelo, and there was another one, you know, when they say, well, the 12th round was the one, there was a little bit of controversy still going on between these two guys, you know? So we definitely have something going on with those guys.
Well, one thing I have to say, Bob, is that a fine trainer like Abel Sanchez You know, he admitted defeat. He knew that his guy wasn't at his best that night, and he just didn't do enough. You
to
know,
win, yeah.
To win, and I respect Abel for that.
Yeah.
That's what great trainers and that's what good trainers do. When their fighter fights a great fight, they say for the great fight. But when your fighter loses in a close match like that, it's hard to get up there in front of people and say, hey, look, my guy didn't make it. He you know, the fight was close, but he just didn't do enough to win. And Abel Sanchez, bless him, man, because he got up there and he said the truth. And whether they like him or dislike him, Abel Sanchez, man, much respect to you for getting up there and saying that. You know what I mean? It takes a lot to do.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, one other thing I want to bring up, because I know this young man meant a lot to you. There's some sad news to report about a kid named Kid Dynamo, Quad Muhammad, the bantamweight, who was up and coming, 8-0, 7 knockouts. He's 29 years old and lost his life there tragically in Las Vegas last week. I know you were looking forward to working with this young man.
Yeah, me and Kevin Crum, we had talked to him 6 months ago on the telephone. And Kevin Crum, who manages talent, singers, boxers, entertainers and stuff, he had gave me a call. And he had told me about this young man that I had already knew because Gil Jasper, who was the police pal, had spoke very highly of him many years ago when he was in the PAL program with Bill Johnson in that great PAL program in Atlantic City.
Right,
but
right.
But Kevin Crum, we had him on the phone. He just had came to AC from Las Vegas, and he said when he comes back from there, he said, well, I don't want to stay. I'm getting good sparring out there at the Mayweather gym. He said, let me go back and get this real good sparring, and I'll come back to AC. When I come back to AC, we'll finish our talk, and we'll make the things that we plan on doing happen. And my condolences go out to the whole family and all the people that love them so dearly in Atlantic City.
Right, yeah, it's a tragic thing. Yeah,
yeah, it's a tragic thing. But, Bob, we have our special guest, and we'd like to thank you for tuning in to the World Boxing Review radio show. I'm the Hall of Fame trainer of champions, Aaron Snowell, the radio aficionado, Bob Murray, but the National Boxing Hall of Fame that voted me into their Hall of Fame in April, Bob and Linda Dempsey. Young man, thank you for coming back on the show.
Yeah, welcome back.
Well, good morning. How's everything going?
Good.
Good morning out there.
Sounds like a great show to me. Really enjoyed it, you guys.
Yeah, well, we'd like to thank you for coming back on our show. And we know you have a special event that you're doing. That you have teamed up with somebody. Just tell us what you're doing.
Yeah, we have coming up on October 20th, the California Boxing Hall of Fame. And our National Boxing Hall of Fame is hosting the event for the Don Frazier. Don Frazier is the president and has had California Boxing Hall of Fame for almost 18 years, and he's 93.
Wow.
So he,
wow.
You know, he's
wow.
been struggling a bit, and he wants us to have this event, and we're really happy to do it. Very honored, and it's going to be a great lineup. And in fact, Bill's right here to talk to you about our lineup for.
Yeah,
well, I'll tell
well,
you,
who's
Aaron,
going
so
in, Bill?
Okay, well, the inductees will be Michael Carbajal, Chango Carmona, Dee Collier, Frankie Lyles, Goody Espadas Sr. and Jr., Jose Celaya, and that's the fighters going in. We have Gene Aguilera, And Gene is the author of two fine boxing books here in representing the Southern California and the Mexican fighters in particular. Aguilera's new all-color book is the Latino Boxing in Southern California. That's just been released, and it's great reviews. His first book was Mexican-American Boxing in Los Angeles, but this is a new this is a sequel to that that book. And we also have Kathy Duva that's being inducted, and Kathy Duva, of course, is she's the daughter-in-law to Lou Duva, who we lost not too long back, and she herself became a boxing promoter. She's with she's CEO of Main Events. That's a New Jersey-based boxing promotion company, been around for years, and so she runs that now, kind of Eileen Eaton-ish, I guess you'd say. Eileen Eaton did a wonderful job out here on the West Coast after Cal, her husband, passed away. She stepped right in, and my gosh, she was a tough one. Oh, she ran it good and lovable. Tough and lovable. A great combination for somebody in that position. And we have Jim Gray. Everybody's familiar with Jim. He doesn't need any introduction, I'm sure. He is so great in his interviews at touching on the very tender spots. And I don't know, it makes people mad. It makes people happy. Does all kinds of things, but it sure triggers the viewers' senses, because he'll go right there and bring those things out and talk about them. And we do, whether we like to admit it or not, we do enjoy the results of those interviews. And a lot of times we end up feeling a whole bunch of empathy for people we didn't know we were going to be feeling empathy for. So Jim does a great job. And so we're honoring him, and we got Eric Gomez. We're going to be giving him an honor. He is the matchmaker for Oscar De La Hoya's Golden Boy Promotions, and him and Oscar have been good friends all through high school, back to grammar school. I believe they go all the way back to grammar school, yeah. They've been together, and so those kind of relationships are really great to have in this rough and tumble business. And he was with Oscar during his boxing career too, so I'm sure that was a great came in handy to have your best buddy at your side through those battles. And we're honoring Wayne Hedgepeth. He's a world-renowned official, and so we're honoring him. We got Julie Lederman, and from the Lederman family, and Julie was taught early on when she was very young, about 4 years old, her father, Harold Lederman, would take her to the fight, sit her down in front of the TV, everything, anything to do with boxing. And she was absorbing all this information, and she was scoring the fights. And that's how she grew up. And she has become one of the most respected judges in the world. And we're honoring her. We're honoring Jimmy Montoya. So respected by the fighters, loved by the fighters.
Fighters love him.
Oh, they do, don't they, hon? Yeah. And so we're honoring him. We're so happy to be. You know, he worked with over 400 major players, fighters in the boxing world. And we're so proud to have him coming in. And we're also honoring Mike North. Now, Mike North might be a name that even the real avid boxing fans don't know, and here's why. He's a timekeeper, and he's been in business for years now, and he's so dependable. He's so good at what he does.
Yeah.
And people don't realize the responsibilities that go with being a timekeeper. And he gets his name announced at the fights because they'll say timekeeper at the bell, Mike North. You know, they've always done
absolutely
that with all the fighters.
Mm-hmm.
And but the duties of, if people realize the duties of the timekeeper, they'd have a lot more concern about the job he's doing. He's the guy that is ringing the bell to start the round and end the round. He's the guy that's got to be on top of it when a knockdown happens. He starts the count, not the referee. The timekeeper starts the count. Referee has other duties he has to take care of. His first responsibility is the safety of the fighters. So the referee cannot start a count. And so that's the one of the timekeeper's duties. And then he's also, the timekeeper has to keep track of if there's timeout called. He's the one that has to be on top of the entire thing. So anyway.
And he don't want to ring the bell too early. That'll mess the timing up on the TV and everything.
Or too late. And, you know, you're dealing with this human element. And it happens that the timekeepers will lose track of the time and the round go an extra minute or so. So it can happen very often.
I don't think there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And so, Bill, who else we got? Man, you got a class that's second to none. Come on, Bill, man, give the World Boxing Review radio show the rest of those names and give our listeners, man, this is really something, all these names. Come on. Who else you got?
Okay. Well, I got Benjamin Rendon. Now, he's been with the WBC for quite a while. Currently, he's a fight supervisor for the WBC. He's a judge. He's been with the Tijuana Boxing Commission for years. And that's something else. Tijuana and Mexico has sent so many boxers up into the Southern California area that we have really had a wonderful experience for years. So much of it has been imported from Mexico. And the fighters we have had here locally in Southern California from Los Angeles, just tremendous deal that we have had with Mexico. And this Benjamin Rendon is such a classy man. I'm going to introduce you to him the next time we're all together, because maybe you haven't met Benjamin, but he is a gentleman's gentleman. You're going to love him. We all do. So, but anyway, we're honoring Benjamin. And we're also honoring Alejandro Rokin. And he's an official that has worked all over the world. And California Boxing Hall of Fame feels that it's time he be recognized and get that name out there. And so Alejandro Rokin will be honored. And then we have Nancy Rodriguez from the WBC. And Nancy and Linda are very good friends. So I would be besmirching Linda if I didn't let her tell you folks.
Hey, Bill, you better watch. Linda might be in the back getting ready to knock you in the head.
Well, what else is new, Aaron? No. I can take the head shots. It's the liver shots that I can't take.
Yeah. Hey, look, we want to mention to our fans. not only are you doing great work with your Hall of Fame things that you're doing, but, man, we like to make everybody aware that Bill was sick, and he got a good report from the doctors, and through all the sickness and all of this, he still works on all of these things that he's doing. And that's a commitment from your family and you, Bill. And we'd like to thank you and bless you at the same time for all the things that you do in boxing, and especially these Hall of Fames. But go on, finish introducing these guys.
Okay, well, I can't finish without thanking you for that, Aaron. Thank you very, very much. And I praise the Lord that I had a good review from my doctors. But you know what? I guess I've reached a time in life where every week is another review from a doctor. I don't know.
As long as they're good.
They're good. And you're strong, and you're doing such a great job, you and Linda, man. The time, the hours spent, you know, to prepare these things, these dinners. People, let me tell you something. When I went out there to California to get inducted into the National Hall of Fame with Bill and Linda and Shelley Williams and a host of other great people, the food was second to none, let me tell you. And the atmosphere was second to none. And the dining hall. And it's to my understanding, Bill, you're going to expand the dining hall or something like that? I mean, the way the tables were dressed up, I said, man, this must be a $2,000 plate, $3,000 plate, Bill.
Well, hey, that means a lot of people owe me a lot of money.
I'm paying the bills out with your name on the bottom of them.
Thank you, Aaron. I really appreciate it. We have expanded the area because we had a very large turnout. We don't want to be crowded there, so we've expanded the seating, and we're really looking forward to a wonderful and happy, fun event. Yeah. I'm the happiest guy in the room, Aaron. I love doing what I'm doing because I love the boxing community. Some of the finest people in the world are amongst the boxing community, and the boxers themselves are, as you know, getting to know them. Well, you grew up. You grew up with Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's
so
right.
You know what a warm, wonderful environment this battleground of courage is.
It's absolutely.
Just a great thing to get to be a part of. So I just love it. Just love being part of it. But anyway.
Speaking of
Muhammad Ali. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, speaking of Muhammad Ali, Gene Kilroy is going to be with us. And he was Ali's manager, and I know you know that, Aaron, for many, many years.
That's my man. We just had him on the show.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, not too long ago.
Yeah, just a couple weeks ago we had Gene on. And I'm happy to hear that he's going in the Hall of Fame out there. You know, Linda, Gene Kilroy, when I was young, and Bob knows this was some years ago when we were doing the show before. Gene Kilroy had said, don't you worry, but he said this to me on the show. He said, Aaron, don't you worry, one day you'll be in all the Boxing Hall of Fame. Isn't that is something like that, he said, Bob?
Yeah, back in 2006, we did that a little while ago. We pulled that snippet out of the old archives, and I found the spot where it was 2006, 12 years ago, and Gene Kilroy on our first show, actually, that was, where we had Ray Mancini was on, and Tommy Hearns and Gene Kilroy, who's from right up the road here in Schuylkill County, too. And, he did definitely mention that you're good, you hang in there, you'll be in the Hall of Fame. And truer words were never spoken.
thanks to the National Boxing Hall of Fame and Bill and Linda. You know, Gene, you know, when I was young, Gene Kilroy meant a lot to me. You know, he took me around a lot of famous people. The Kennedys, number one. Gene Kilroy introduced me to the Kennedys. You know Bobby Shriver? That was the Attorney General of California. Gene Kilroy introduced me to him when I was young, and they were young at the time, too. And Maria Shriver, when she was young. Gene introduced me to her mother, Gene Kilroy. And we talk about this all the time. You know, growing up in Schuylkill County and all of that, you know, Gene's from right up the road, Monoy City. Gene Kilroy, when I was at the camp, he says, look, man, you're going to be a great trainer. He said, he took me to New York City, and he's the one who taught me how to dress, you know, to dress nice. You know, French cuffs, shirts, suits, ties, to match the pocket squares, the belt, the shoes. Gene Kilroy took me and had me sized up and got me on the chopping block, and it was something. And that same day, that's when he took me down on by the river to meet the Kennedys. Gene went up to the door, ran the door. They said, oh, Gene... She came in, Sergeant General, I guess, Shriver, his wife, Rosalind. She came to the door. Gene said, they said, come on in, Gene. And Gene said, I want you to meet such and such, this guy here, you know. And that's how it went down, you know. Gene's great for that. Yeah.
You know, what a wonderful – Yeah, go ahead.
That's really had no idea, Aaron.
A wonderful way to introduce a young man to a gifted or a higher level of society, and not higher in importance, but in the activities that surround. That group of people. It's like the activities that surrounded Muhammad Ali. They were all the basic things, the same thing that the guy on the street is going through inside. We're all the same, you know, whether you got all the money or nothing. We all have the same needs, the love needs and all that. But there's a different set of rules, I guess you would say, as you become into the more successful places in life. Maybe just feeling comfortable going into a fancy restaurant. Listen, I still feel like a stumble bum stumbling around this world because I'm getting ready for a trip to China, and it's going to be kind of a hoity-toity affair. And I'm going, oh, my gosh, I'm trying to learn how to use chopsticks without poking an eye out and something because I want to be able to, you know, fit in. And so for you to get that kind of opportunity at such a young age, that was wonderful, but it makes you the person you are today. I mean, you're very, you have a lot of self-confidence. You're very comfortable in probably any situation, and that's fantastic.
Yeah.
So, you've got that man to remember and thank for that, and you have. So.
Well, frankly,
when Gene was manager, like a pit boss and all of that, you know, he was a casino host. Let me tell you, Gene used to bring all of us in and a lot of people from up in that area when he was a casino host, man, feed us, put you up there in the hotel and all of that, stay. And Gene would treat you like royalty. He said, but while you're here, just make sure you go down and see the floor and gamble a little bit and, you know, and pull the slot machines and stuff. He said, spend the money in the house. But Gene used to treat us like royalty when he was a casino host. And, I mean, all the top basketball players from Michael Jordan, Shaquille O'Neal, all of them guys used to come in with the fights with Gene. Tennis players, you name them. High athletes used to, Gene used to bring them in the nights for fights. But, hey, look, we congratulations, Gene Kilroy and the family up there in Schuylkill County. But we got more people going into the California Boxing Hall of Fame with Don Frazier and the National Boxing Hall of Fame that's hosting it. Who else we got, Bill and Linda?
Okay, well, I'll tell you, we're going to go back to Nancy Rodriguez because she's a very important person to us in our induction here, and it'll be a quick thing. But one other thing, I forgot to mention there, on our trip to China, Michael Spinks and Flo are going with us. So we're going to have a wonderful time. And I'll be able to watch Michael because Michael, I think, is quite a bit more comfortable around the hoity-toities than I am. He's been there.
Yeah.
You know, he knows that world a little better than me. So, and Flo. So, but anyway.
Flo's a beautiful person, and so are Michael Spinks. Michael Spinks is what a humble man. He always carries himself very humbly.
What a gem.
And Flo, let me tell you, Flo Anthony, second to none when it comes to Hollywood biz and the stars. And people that matter. If she don't know you, then you don't matter. Flo Anthony, she knows everybody in Hollywood. Yeah, she's really and a sweet person. Boy, you're getting around, Bill and Linda, man. You're going with the best of the best.
Well, that's right. We're blessed. Blessed by the best.
Right.
So Linda's going to tell you about Nancy Rodriguez. Tell them a little bit about Nancy, because Nancy is such a great...
Oh, yeah. Nancy actually was raised in Oxnard, and she met Bam Bam Rios. She got real involved in social media, helping a friend to get him, notice in boxing. And anyway, it's a long story. She's put a lot of years into boxing, and she is now... risen to the level of at the WBC, where she handles a lot of before the fight. She handles a lot of pre-planning and just she's like a multitasking woman with a lot of hard work and dedication to WBC. She's also an ambassador to the WBC Cares with Jill Diamond, with the children. There's so much to say about her, and we're so excited to have her because she's a
WBC utility player.
Yeah,
with a great heart.
She actually manages a fighter, Maria. How do you pronounce it? Marciella. Carniella. I'm so sorry, Mark.
You gotta hand it over to Bob. He's the one that can handle those kind of names.
I just wonder why.
You just give it to Bob. Bob knows how to flow real good with that.
I'm sorry about that. Yeah.
Okay, look, everybody who has trouble with these names, including Henry Haskup and Tony Trim, they say, just give it to Bob. He can get it. Because every week when we go around the world, all of these international names with different cultures and different ways, Bob flows through them like he's just reading through the newspaper, And that's why we say, give it to Bob. He can handle it.
Well, yeah, Bob, you're great. Okay, here's the fighters. Yeah. Here's the fighters that we're going to have inducted here. Now, this is, remember, we've been mixing up here, talking back and forth from the California Boxing Hall of Fame to the National Boxing Hall of Fame, in our deal here this morning. So, but this is back now to the California Boxing Hall of Fame, the one that's coming up in October.
October,
Michael
what's
Carbajal.
The day? What's the day? What's the date?
The date is October,
October 20th at the Sportsman Lodge in Studio City. And the best way to get tickets is to purchase them online. And if you go to the website, which is the National Boxing Hall of Fame, I don't want to confuse everyone, but National Boxing Hall of Fame has all the information and the ticket information on the front page of the website. And that website is www.nationalboxinghalloffame.com. And if you go there, you can use credit card, PayPal, or pick up the address and mail it to here in West Hills. They can send their check in, but they'll want to get it in soon because the tickets are really moving, and we're going to have
about,
a full house.
How about sponsorship? What if somebody wants their company to be in the program book? They do it the same way?
We have a full on, I think we're up to 30 pages of a full color program. We do have room for a couple more ads. It's a full color, and they can go to the website as well, but they'll have to get that in by the end of next week. So if they're interested, they can email us at info@nationalboxinghalloffame.com, and if they go on the website, our phone number is on there. They can call us. We can help them out. We actually can even design the ad for them through our graphic designer. So it's a great program to be part of because this is a legacy of Don Frazier, and there's a lot. It's like a big reunion. We are going to have about, I think I counted yesterday, almost 16 champion boxers that are coming as guests. So we have a big list of champion boxers. And we can give you that list here. Maybe we should give the information here on the boxers who are going to be inducted, and then I'll have Bill tell you that list right now.
We were at Michael Carbajal. His Manitas de Piedra. That was little hands of stone. He took that as his alias because his hero was Roberto Duran. And Michael Carbajal was a light flyweight champion. After being knocked down twice in a fight, he caught the great Humberto Gonzalez, Chiquita Gonzalez, with a right that staggered him onto the ropes. Then, bam, he nailed him with a perfectly executed left hook to close the show. They fought three times. Now, Michael Carbajal was a tough, tough guy. And he could really set his punches up and load up those punches. We're really honored to have him being inducted. But he fought this Humberto Gonzalez, who was just a tremendous fighter. And we'll have a little shot of that at the event. By the way, they are really good. Yeah, they're really good friends now. They had these fights. That's the way it is with these boxers. They have these tremendous fights. And so many times they develop great respect for each other and long-lasting friendships. We'd like to see Humberto show up, but we're going to be inducting him into the National Boxing Hall of Fame coming up in 2019. So then we got Chango Carmona. His real name is – I don't know if I can say his real name because I only know him as Chango Carmona. Udabel Gulian Chapin. And I hope I've said that right. I believe I did. He was born in Mexico City, Mexico. He took the WBC World Lightweight title from
Mondo Ramos, and boy, I'll tell you, he really busted Mondo up quite bad that night. The fight was stopped in the eighth round. It was a scheduled 15-rounder. Rudy Jordan stopped the fight. My dad actually was one of the judges in that fight. And George Latka was also there. I remember that. That was at the Los Angeles Coliseum. And it turned into a crazy night. Ramos was beaten so badly that he had to be rushed to the hospital in an ambulance right after the fight. In the fourth round, Carmona dropped him. And then in the fifth, he dropped him twice. And Mondo came back in the seventh round. And Mondo actually won that seventh round on everybody's time cards. The only round he won on my dad's time card. But anyway, as they were leaving the stadium, the crowd in the stadium rushed the ambulance and were pounding on the ambulance and bombing the ambulance and turned it over. And while they were trying to get Mondo out of there to the end, so it was turned into a wild affair. But anyway, so I'm glad I was there to get to see everything. So another fighter we have is his name is Celaya, Jose Celaya. He was born in Salinas, California. He started when he was a youngster, 10 years of age. He had his first fight. He had great athletic abilities and a great heart. He was one of those guys that trainers love. You know, he was really anxious to learn. He worked really hard. He had all the tools. And as he developed and refined the tools, he, of course, got better and better. He had some great fighters that he would watch and learn from. One of them was Sugar Shane Mosley. And in fact, Mosley ended up training Jose. So Jose, would, when a youngster, when he would go to these fights up there in Salinas, and 5 years later he was fighting a mainline headline events there himself. For a while he trained at the Kronk Gym in Detroit. Manuel Stewart trained him. Anyway, he's really a special guy, this Jose Celaya. He was hurt fighting. Now, so he's injured, but he's a powerfully strong man inside. Yeah. And he's handling it. And he was working with he had some head trauma. And you're going to love this guy. He just he's really working through that. And he's fighting that just like he did when he was in the ring. But
we have 2 minutes. So if you have a longer list, if you can run down that name real fast,
I'm gonna go
we got 2 minutes.
Watch me speed. All right, D. Collier. D. Collier, just to sum it up, D. Collier had fought an awful lot of good fighters. He was a local guy here, and we loved him, local heavyweight. He fought Randall Cobb. Now, Larry Holmes tried to knock Randall Cobb off his feet. He couldn't do it.
We have 90 seconds.
Okay, Gene Collier knocked him out in the first round. Goody Espadas and his son, both world champions, they're going to be there. Frankie Lyles, oh, what a fighter. He won the NABF super middleweight. Now, then he went on to win the super middleweight, the WBC super middleweight title, and defeated Steve Little, taking that title, and he held that title for 5 years, had 7 successful
60
defenses.
Seconds,
this guy could fight
Bill,
Michael Nunn
seconds.
With a great nemesis. Okay, Michael Nunn and Frankie Lyles was a great matchup. They were both left-handers, and boy, what a fight they had. That was his first title defense after winning the title. And this guy, I'm telling you, Aaron, this guy could fight. He could do it all. Box. He could punch, and he was a smart fighter, and what a heart. Frankie Lyles. And if you haven't really
got next to him, you know, take a look at him. Look up Frankie Lyles. You'll enjoy yourself. And I know you know all of them, but there's so many fighters out there. Sometimes some of them get mentioned more than others. Frankie Lyles should be mentioned every day in the boxing world.
We have,
take a look
we
at
have
this
10
guy.
Seconds, Bill, and we're sorry. We have to get ready to close. But look,
love
tune
you guys.
In to –
Thank you.
Go to the National Boxing Hall of Fame website. All the information's there about the coming event up in the California Boxing Hall of Fame. And also, the National Boxing Hall of Fame 2019 inductees list will be coming out very soon. That's what Bill and Linda told me. My name is Aaron Snow. They call me the Hall of Fame Trainer of Champions. And our radio aficionado, Bob Murray. We'd like to thank Bill and Linda for tuning in. Tony Trim is out, and our boxing other boxing historian, Henry Haskup, thank you for tuning into the World Boxing Review every Saturday from 11 to 12. Now you can go to the World Boxing Review Radio Show.com or go to the World Boxing Review.com and listen to the show, see what's going on, or blogcastradio.com/ The World Boxing Review. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.